What's going on, everybody? Friday morning, NHL Fantasy on Ice. Pete Jensen, Rob Reese, guest David Satriano here to break it all down. What's happened this week? Spin it forward to the weekend. What's up, guys?
What's up, Davey? Welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining us.
We had a big slate yesterday. A lot of games. I was really excited to watch them and then come on today to discuss this because we had a lot of good stuff.
Hey, Davey Satriano, a little energy bump from you because Mackenzie Blackwood looks like Patrick Wah, huh? And the Devils are flying. So congratulations on that, Davey, and thanks for joining.
Just handing the guy the Hart Trophy right now, right? I mean, has COVID. He's out. They don't play for 2 weeks. Comes back, beats the Rangers and Bruins. Like, why even bother voting for that thing?
Well, I guess if you want to get all hyped up about him, you would say maybe he could be something close to the next Marty Brodeur if you want to compare him to one of the all-time greats from his own team in the past. But yeah, again, let's not get ahead of ourselves here, but definitely the Devils have been an enormous surprise right up there with teams like the Blackhawks, right up there with teams like the Florida Panthers. All those teams I just mentioned are in contention. All of them have goalies to offer either through lower tier trades or waiver wire pickups. Like I know Chris Driedger, right, guys, has been one of the biggest stories of the week with that big win for the Panthers the other day against the Hurricanes. So like of all those goalies from those teams, which one has stood out to you the most? Which one, I guess, has some staying power in your opinions?
Well, for me, I think a guy who I wasn't even high on was Kevin Lankinen on the Blackhawks. It just seems every game, no matter who they're playing. I know they've played the Detroits, but even games against the bigger teams, his numbers are pretty incredible. I think, you know, everyone shook their head when the Blackhawks didn't sign a goalie in free agency and let Crawford go and said, you know what, we're going to go with Malcolm Subban and this Kevin Lankinen guy. No one knew who he was, and his numbers are pretty incredible. I think, yes, you'll see a dip, but I think this is pretty sustainable, and he's clearly their number one guy. So to me, I think it would be him because no one even had him on their radar.
And the sample size for Lankinen keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. He keeps doing it kind of no matter what the matchup is. I mean, at first it's like, oh, they beat the Red Wings. Well, now they're competing against the good teams in the division. I still think that there will be a slight decline for that Chicago team. That's why I like Lankinen, but I don't love Lankinen rest of season. I would have to go with Driedger here. I just like the Florida Panthers this year. I think they're the best team out of that bunch that we just spoke about. I love what Blackwood's doing, and I think he will have real good success for the rest of the season, just like he did last year, too. This is nothing new for Blackwood, but I think in that division, it's going to be tough for the Devils to keep pace. Although, Davey, I think it's interesting that now they've kind of inserted themselves as the sneaky competitive team, whereas teams like the Rangers, all they won in a shootout last night. Islanders are a little bit up and down. Philly's a little bit up and down. It's funny that the Devils have kind of taken over that little identity with Lindy Ruff.
I mean, their schedule's pretty crazy. They don't have two days off until March 31st, April 1st. So they're going to be playing every other day. Blackwood's probably going to get a lot of those starts. You know, if you have any Devils too, they're going to be playing three or four games a week. So it's a pretty big deal when the schedule is loaded up like that. It's tough. We mentioned, you know, Dallas, Tampa Bay, they've had off this week. I've had guys like Pavelski who I don't know, you know, I'm not dropping him, but it's a week where you don't get anything. So we know how difficult this is, but there's some kind of guys you got to hang on to. Other guys, like I have Ty Smith on the Devils. I caught him on one team because they were off, and two games back, it didn't seem much. But I just love this with the schedule, how everything just keeps changing. It makes you feel like a real GM. You know, you got to make these moves quick and decide.
Yeah, no room for error and the clock working against you every single day, every single week. But yeah, the Devils, like I think one thing about the Devils that we should say is like, I don't think we've seen them peak yet. Like we just saw a big performance from Kyle Palmieri. We still haven't seen Nico Hischier, whether it was the injury or then the COVID protocol list. I mean, they had the big absence in between where they weren't playing any games. They came into the season hot. And then after like, 2 weeks off, like they came back just as hot. So like that to me shows that they might be the ones that are sustainable. And when you look at teams like Philly, like as good as they've been, I was looking at some of their metrics. Their PDO is highest in the league. Their shots on goal per game are among the lowest, and their shots allowed are among the highest. So those are things that might be working against them. Like the Devils to me, compared to like Philly, compared to Pittsburgh, who could regress in the coming weeks and months, the Devils still may have an extra gear, which makes you excited about that team because there were no expectations surrounding them. They've been a real pleasant surprise here.
And this is without Nico Hischier. So just imagine when another number one pick gets back in the lineup there. I think they could make some noise. I don't see them getting that fourth spot to get in the playoffs. But honestly, guys, if they're in that contention at the end of the season there, they could easily with a boost from Hischier sneak in. So that's something to keep an eye on. Now, one other thing I have written down here from last night, Elvis Merzlikins. Now, again, I will preface by saying the opponent wasn't top quality in the Nashville Predators, but nonetheless pitched a 3-0 shutout there for Columbus. Korpisalo has not been that good this season, especially in fantasy. You've gotten next to nothing value wise. Do you think that this is Elvis's job moving forward, Davey?
I think Elvis has entered the building and he's not going to leave it. I drafted Korpisalo and I could not get Elvis, which was very tough. I wanted the tandem. Elvis has been playing really well. I'll give a hat tip to you guys. You picked him yesterday in your DFS. You know, I was talking to Pete about this because I liked Darcy Kemper against the Kings last night on Arizona. And he said, you know, we picked Elvis. And I said, I really like Elvis, but I just don't know if I can fit him in. And Pete said, you know, he's even cheaper than Kemper. And I said, yeah, that's a good point. But I just didn't want to mix things up. And, you know, Elvis did really well. I think the Blue Jackets are playing well. And Korpisalo will get the starts, but this could easily be like, you know, a 3-1 or whatever. Merzlikins has always been the better goalie when he's healthy. And I think now the Blue Jackets are going to utilize him, you know, correctly and let him start more of the games.
Yeah, and didn't he have like 5 shutouts last year and they all came in a short stretch and he only played like 30 games as a rookie, if I remember correctly, something like that. So really impressive single game outputs for him. If he gets any consistency going, he'll run away with the starting job in Columbus. And Columbus is that team that we picked earlier in the year. We thought, you know, they would probably be that fourth, you know, seed in the Central Division. And I just think it's a great opportunity for them to bounce back. Their save percentage is in the bottom 10 in the league at 5-on-5. And in general, I just think that's way too low, right? We came into the year thinking Columbus was going to be a top 5 goalie tandem. I don't think that we were crazy for thinking that. And I think from this point on, starting with the Elvis shutout, they could finish in that range.
I agree with that, Pete. I mean, and let's be honest, I think it's the same thing you said with New Jersey, where they haven't really reached their peak yet. The same thing can be said about Columbus because Zach Werenski is still out of the lineup. He's been banged up this season. Seth Jones is now just starting to heat up with 4 points in his past 5 games and 16 shots on goal over the past 5 games as well. He had back-to-back games with 5 shots each. I mean, if things start going right for the Columbus Blue Jackets and it all comes down to their goaltender position, that's the only thing they've really been missing, along with Werenski and Jones not playing at 100%. I think this team has a really high ceiling, and this is the time now in fantasy. You got to make these moves. I would go after a guy like Zach Werenski if possible. If you can find a way to maybe even, I would go so far as say, put a claim in on Korpisalo if someone dropped him, because I think his play will benefit too. Even though I expect Merzlikins to be the number one the rest of the season, I think Korpisalo's peripherals are going to come up if we see kind of that infuse of good energy here from Merzlikins' shutout last night.
Let's not forget our friend of the program, Cam Atkinson, who he always sees our tweets you guys put out and either likes them or, you know, lets us know he's seen when we've mentioned he wasn't playing so well in last season. But look at the way he's got goals in 4 or 5 games. I mean, I think people haven't been talking about him as much because of the Laine trade and Jack Roslovic, but Cam Atkinson, he's starting to find the, you know, this guy's a 30 goal scorer and he's starting to play like it.
Yeah, he got one of the craziest bounces you'll see in the game yesterday. And that's like when you start to be a high shot, when you're always a high shot volume guy, you go through a dry spell, all of a sudden you see, some of the shots falling in a good way. And then it's the floodgates. So that's what we're seeing now with Cam Atkinson. I think wasn't he like the star of the week or something like that? One of the 3 stars of the week this past week. And he's keeping it rolling here. So, yeah, I think like, when we saw that play yesterday with Elvis, we were just saying, like, how did Columbus lose the first 2 games of the season to Nashville? You know, they got to be better than this. They have Laine and Roslovic now. That was the reason we brought out the sledgehammer and really thought that was a good play. So we don't do that too much, but Bobby inspired us the other day and it worked out well, right? Hey, 1-0 for me on sledgehammers.
Yeah, Petey, the official standings. I'm 2-0 on sledgehammers. Petey 1-0. He had the Columbus Blue Jackets on the puck line. Oh my God, that's a huge sledgehammer for Petey. And we're waiting for Robbie's first sledgehammer. Don't force it. don't force it. You got to feel a sledgehammer.
Well,
so there's no pressure.
I make all the picks behind the scenes, Bobby. I just don't gloat. You're never going to hear
a little. Well, the listeners, let the folks know when a sledger comes out. But yes, PD had a nice sledgehammer on the Blue Jackets. Where are we going next, Robbie? Steer the ship.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about some of the matchups. I think tonight we're going to see a lot of fantasy implications on a Friday, which is pretty rare in the NHL. But tonight I'm looking at Chicago and Carolina, and I think this is a great opportunity for Carolina to flex their muscle against the Chicago team. Chicago has been playing tremendous. They've been one of the better storylines through the first 3 or 4 weeks here of the NHL season. But I think this is an opportunity for Carolina to assert dominance in the division. James Reimer is definitely going to start this game. You cannot bet when they've got Nedeljkovic going against the Florida Panthers, like we said the other night. Now, if Reimer's starting, I think this is a great opportunity again for Carolina just to show that they are, if not the best team, the second best team in the division.
Yeah, I picked up James Reimer when the injury happened to Peter Mrazek. Wasn't sure what I was going to get out of him, but you know, he was going to start a lot of the games. But as you mentioned, they like this. I can't say his name, but I'll try. Nedeljkovic kid. We'll just call him Djokovic because we're all about tennis right now. So I think he had a couple starts. They like what they see of him, but I think you're right. Reimer, the way the Hurricanes play, I think that right now they are playing like the best team in that division. And you're right, this is going to be a good game because Chicago is playing well too. I actually think the Blackhawks are going to win. I'm not going to go all sledgehammer, but I think the Blackhawks, they're playing well, and I like them to win this game.
They got great value, plus 165 Chicago on the road against Carolina. And Carolina very quietly third in the NHL in scoring behind Tampa Bay and Toronto. So I know the back end has been a little shaky. They've been allowing some goals on a consistent basis, but should get better when Mrazek comes back. And Reimer's definitely better than Nedeljkovic, Davey. So I would lean Carolina. Just they're the better overall team, no doubt. I think that Chicago, even though they got the two wins against Detroit, a little underwhelming. They should have scored some more goals in those two games, in my opinion.
I'm with Robbie. I'm going Carolina.
The thing, though, is that this is a back-to-back. So they play Friday and Saturday. So just pay attention to which goalie is starting which night. I'd say this. If Reimer pitches a shutout tonight, you throw him back out there tomorrow. I know that Nedeljkovic has some draft pedigree and everything, Davey, but what we've seen, he's had opportunities now the past three seasons, and it has never gone well. And the Chicago team, you have to take seriously. Anybody sleeping on this team still is making a major mistake. That's why I think Carolina will win tonight, but be careful what you do moving forward. You can't just throw Nedeljkovic out there and expect the best.
Yeah, you know, a couple guys on Chicago that I picked up Sutter and I picked up Kurashev, but I'm not really sure how I feel about them now. It just seems like they go through too many long stretches without scoring. Although, you know, anyone who's playing with Patrick Kane, you kind of got to keep your eye on. So I'm not really sure where we go with those guys, but I like Suter if I had to pick between the two.
Yeah, Suter's been more consistent, but Kurashev definitely has had some flashes of brilliance at different points in the season, had a highlight reel goal the other day. So the team, the Carolina just lost to Florida, has the ripe matchup against Detroit here. And I know, Robbie, you like Huberto, the way he's playing, among the best left wings in fantasy in the entire league. He's playing with Wennberg and Patrick Hornquist. You like a little stack action there for DFS, right?
I love that, Pete. And I think that it's great for Florida that they broke up Barkov and Huberto, something I probably would not have exclaimed early in the season. It didn't really make sense, but credit to Joel Quenneville for doing that, because now Barkov, Duclair, Verhaeghe on one, and then you have Huberto, Wennberg, who's been a sneaky play, and Hornquist on two. I mean, Hornquist has been fantastic for that Penguins team, or for, the Panthers team. And he's got points, I think, 4 in his past 5, couple multi-point games over that span as well. So that's an easy stack. You hate to keep cherry picking the Red Wings, but Florida is starting Driedger, who I love in fantasy, and this is another opportunity. It's kind of like Merzlikens against Nashville. You just need to make the statement, even though it's not the best opponent, that this is my net, and I'm taking it moving forward.
You know, you talked about Quenneville, the moves he's making, and I agree with you. I think the moves that he's making, including starting Chris Driedger, who's had better numbers than a guy who you signed to a, 7-year, $70 million contract, where most GMs or coaches would say, hey, this is our guy for, you know, the next 7-8 years. We have to start him, let him get his game. But Quenneville's pushing all the right buttons this season. We thought the Panthers could be, what, that number 4 seed in that division, maybe in the playoffs. But they're playing really well, you know, better than they were last season when I thought they could win a round or so in the playoffs. And I give a lot of credit to Joel Quenneville. You mentioned we wouldn't break up those lines. He does. And what happens? They continue to win and score.
Yeah, I texted Petey the other night and I said, you got to give Quenneville credit here. We all know it if they keep winning. But Davey, you're right on the money with Quenneville. And I said it a couple shows ago. I was like, you know, they're going to keep starting Bobrovsky. Bobrovsky's going to get the starts. They got the money invested in him. Yeah, Quenneville doesn't care. He's gonna ride with the hot hand, and that's what he's doing. And I'm not ready to say that Florida is 100%, you know, I'm not all in on that team just yet, but boy, I love what I'm seeing from them.
Yeah, and great stuff so far when they've played the top teams, right? They beat Carolina the other day. They took 2 out of 3 from the defending champion Lightning. I mean, this is not, they're only playing these couple of teams all year. So far, so good. They've, you know, exploited the matchups in different ways. They've, you know, they've won games when Bobrovsky's been poor. They've won games where Driedger has been great. If Driedger regresses, but he's now at, I think I saw a 930 through his first 22 NHL games. I mean, 20 plus NHL games. That's incredible. That's as good as it gets, really. So the guy has no pedigree coming into, you know, it's not like he was outstanding and earth shattering in different leagues before he entered the NHL or anything like that, like you've seen with other high end prospects and stuff. But I mean, the guy's coming to play in the, with the biggest stage here. No pressure on that team, I feel like, compared to the past couple of years. And we got a good fan question entering today. Would you rather have Chris Driedger or John Gibson for the rest of the season? The more I watch Driedger, I'd rather have him. I trust the Panthers more. What do you guys think?
100% Driedger. Davey?
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I mean, Gibson did have, what, that one shutout, but it's the same. The Ducks, it's the same with the Red Wings. They're not going to score many goals. Yeah. So even if the save percentage is there, the goals against won't be great. He's not going to get the win. So it's really not a question to me either. I mean, I know the problem is people think, oh, well, John Gibson's going to start every game and Driedger might start once every two games. No, you can't think of it that way. Driedger's the better goalie. You go with him.
Yeah. Offensively, the Ducks are just, oh my God, tough to watch. And then Detroit offensively, oh my goodness. And then, you know what? Surprisingly, the Rangers are right there. The Rangers to fighting, you know, for a goal, it's impossible for them to score. Those teams offensively, it's tough. So you got to go Driedger just based on the Ducks' lack of offensive output.
I actually had the Ducks game on a little bit on Thursday.
Were you trying to go
night.
To sleep or something?
I was doing. I know it's like totally out of left field, but I needed a big win from Kokkonen in one of my weekly Yahoo leagues. So I was like, okay, is this guy legit? Can I watch Kokkonen play? And I think the Ducks had like 17 shots. I mean, and the shot quality that they are producing right now, let's just say Kokkonen had an easy night there. So good though for Minnesota and for Kokkonen. I know Talbot's off the COVID list. But one thing I did, oh, Davey, go for it.
I was just going to say, Bobby mentioned the Rangers and I was going to ask you guys, I have Mika Zibanejad in 2 of my leagues. Like, what am I supposed to do with him? I'm trying to trade him. No one wants him. You can't drop the guy, right? I mean, I don't know what to do with him.
I think you got to keep him. You made your bed, right? You picked him early on. You got to keep him, especially when you look at the Rangers. Their PDO is bottom 5, so they suggest they have a lot of room for improvement. Their shooting percentage at 5-on-5, second worst in the NHL, but ahead of only the Buffalo Sabres, who were I can't even get started with that team if we're going to talk about disappointments. But yeah, the Rangers, a lot of room for improvement. The shot volume for Zibanejad, he's still getting, if you look, like 2, 3, 4 shots every game, and somehow only has no goals, 1 assist in his past like 12 games. I mean, it's only a matter of time. I know we've been saying that for a few weeks. I would go on the record, give Zibanejad 1 more week. Now that Panarin's back, 1 more week, and then I'm done.
I watched Zibanejad, and I can't tell you how many times he's got a wide open shot, and he either fans on the shot, his stick breaks, he shoots it wide. He right now is in his own head, breakaways that he can't stuff home. Last year, everything was dropping for him. This year, totally snake bit. With that being said, you got to stick with him. Patience, got to go with the Japanese, got to go with Nick Alberga. You got to stick with him and just cross your fingers and hopefully he comes out of it. But boy, he is snake bit right now.
Well, I would take a in the middle of the road Zibanejad ad between last season and this season. I'd happily take somewhere in the middle for the remainder of the season. But I was watching some of their game on Thursday too, and he like can't even really field a pass right now. Any pass that's whipped towards him, it like just goes over his stick. It bounces.
Right.
If he fumbles it into the corner, and then like the play dies, and then he's changing, yeah. And it's like, ah, you just want to see a little bit more. And I think the Rangers, it's not indicative of Zibanejad as a player, more so of the Rangers overall, where the potential is there. You see flashes of it every game, but like a lot of 2-on-1s are dying out. Their cycle game is non-existent. And I just worry a little bit that this Trouba injury too on the back end, like I thought we saw the worst of the Rangers team. I just hope the worst is yet to come. Obviously I don't think that. I like the Rangers, but I just hope that it doesn't get any lower. I do want to swing forward though and talk about one matchup tonight. It's the Flames versus the Oilers. Petey and I were talking a little bit yesterday that I think this Flames team is just one of the most hard teams to figure out their identity. The Oilers, we know exactly what they are. They're a high scoring team with a lot of flaws on the back end, including the goaltender position. But this Flames team, it's like they have a lot of good pieces. They just can't seem to be consistent, Petey.
Yeah, I mean, when it seems like when the Flames play the Oilers, they get up for those games. I don't know what it is about that. I guess it's just like, you know, a fun matchup and it brings out the best in them, I feel like. But yeah, the Oilers have been, I feel like, a better team over the past couple of weeks in terms of consistent scoring, winning games. I mean, taking advantage of favorable opponents in some cases, but the Oilers are yielding more fantasy results lately. When the Flames, like the Flames can't go to David Riddick. That's been the problem lately. Like they don't seem to trust him, and why would they? He hasn't been great second half of last year and has only played like 2 or 3 games this year, and it hasn't been pretty. So Markstrom's been outstanding. Even after the bad game the other day, he's still got a 918 save percentage. The problem is he's getting overworked. He played all 4 games against Vancouver and he lost 2 of them. So it seems like, you know, the load is heavy on his back again, and the offense brings it some nights, but not every night. And I know people are getting rattled a little bit up there about the Flames. They should be a playoff team. They could go deep in the playoffs, but they're just not a lock for the playoffs because of their regular season inconsistency.
I'll just be real quick with it for a Friday pick, 219. I'm on board with the Flames tonight. I think the number is strange. Their favorite. It opened at like minus 154. Everyone jumping on the Oilers because of the way they've played lately. I think the Flames figure out a way to win this game, and I'm just going to take them based on the fact that they're favorites in this game and sizable favorites to open. So somebody knows something. I'm going to take the Flames. Plus, you know, it opened at minus 150. Now you can get it at minus 117. You got to do it. So I'm on board on a Friday pick. Sorry to interrupt there. Someone respond to Peter. Where are we going? Robbie, Petey, who wants it? Who wants it?
Davey, how about Davey? What's your thoughts on this Flames team?
My thoughts on this Flame teams are this Flames team is/R. I agree with you guys. It's very tough. Markstrom's great, but it's kind of tough to watch because of how inconsistent they are. I think their record is 500. They're like 8-6 or 8-7-1 or something. And they're playing in the tough Canada division, but they should really be better than this. You're right. They're a top 4 team in that division. They went out, they got a couple guys on defense. You know, that just, it seems like Gaudreau had the really hot start, and who else is producing for them offensively? Like they're just counting on the goalie too much. But you thought the way this team is built that they would be doing better than they are. Although watching the Oilers a lot, to me, they're the way they play too. I mean, not the way they play, but the results they have, they should be much better than they are too. I mean, this is, look who they have on their team. It's just like, how are they only 10-8 and like fluctuating, might not be in a playoff spot there. I really don't understand these two teams. To me, two of the better teams, and they're not playing that way at all through the whole season.
Well, I have Matthew Tkachuk in the lineup for the Flames tonight. I just think he's been snake bit. I think it's 4 or 5 games now without any action for him, either assist or a goal. So get Chucky back in the lineup there. It is interesting. The Flames have the 3rd best 5-on-5 save percentage in the league this year, which is an amazing stat. It's everything indicative of Jacob Markstrom. But as Petey mentioned, no backup this year situation for them is not good in a condensed season. And also their special teams, their average, I think 15th and 16th in both power play and penalty kill. You're going to need to be better. And if your power play is not better than that in a high scoring division like the North, I mean, you could get behind quickly, especially against a team like Edmonton. They could chew you up. If they get three or four power play opportunities, they could absolutely eat you alive if you're not careful.
I'm waiting to see, hopefully, a little bit more consistency either from Anderson, Rasmus Anderson, or Giordano, or even Juuso Välimäki. Like, those are the three guys that they've tried out on the first power play. I do have some faith in Calgary's power play. You look at last regular season after Jeff Ward took over, they were like top five in the league. In the playoffs, they were near the top of the league until they exited against the Dallas Stars. We all remember that series pretty vividly. It was entertaining. They were scoring the puck. They were in every game. I mean, I think that like that power play should eventually turn it around. That's why I still like them to sneak into the playoffs. I would still lean them over Edmonton. They're kind of Jekyll and Hyde. Edmonton most nights will make you pay on the scoreboard, but still the head-to-head matchups are key. These are 2 points up for grabs. A lot of 3-point games out there in the league. If Calgary can get two tonight, they'll be in good shape, I think.
And we have Canucks Jets tonight. I think the Canucks are third in scoring, 61 goals in 21 games, and the Jets are fourth with 55. Davey, if that's not an over, I don't know what is.
This would be a very contrarian play, right? To say, hey, I can get some good money on that under, take the under. But you agree, the Canucks, they're scoring a lot. They're allowing too many goals. We know how good the Jets are. So this is probably as close to a lock as you can get. I mean, it's going to be a 6-5 game. That's probably what the final is going to be.
You would think over, right? The crazy thing about this is I'm looking at the movement. Opened at 6.5. And it's now 6. People jumping on the under, you know, thinking like, Davey, let's be a contrarian here. I had to sweat through an under in the Edmonton Jets game. It was set at 6.5. The whole game was on a power play. So, I mean, I'm trying to sweat out penalty kills. And these Canadian teams, I said it the other day, you have to take the over. So I know you want to be a contrarian and you're looking at the line movement. You're saying, okay, let me take the under, but you don't want to spend your Friday night doing that. I promise you that spending your Friday night watching these two teams, hoping they don't score goals, it's not going to be fun. Don't do it.
How was your Wednesday? I mean, was it fun watching that game? We were going back and forth, but you know, 2 goals in the first 5 minutes.
No, it wasn't
fun.
I put my reputation on the line saying, you know, to you, I like the under. And then next thing you know, every 2 seconds, the whistle's blowing, the hands up, penalty, power play. I didn't have a fun Wednesday. It ended up being an under. I ended up winning that, but it wasn't fun, Davey.
It's very hard to root. I have a friend who doesn't know much about hockey, but he always asks me, he needs to, you know, bet on over unders. And sometimes he bets on periods, you know, like the third period, 2 goals. And I'm like, you never want to root for the under. It's just not fun. And also, you know, if it's close game, there's probably a goalie pulled, it's like an automatic goal almost. So you're right. It's always fun to root for the over.
Yeah. I mean, the fun one for me was Wednesday when we picked Florida and Carolina to go over. We thought that was similar to this. Like there was no reason indicating it would be anything otherwise. Carolina scored 2 quick goals at one point. Then all of a sudden in the third period, that was very much in doubt. But then both teams traded goals and then they ended up winning it on Huberto's breakaway in overtime. So that was like one of the most fun games to watch for me all season so far. And that definitely, you know, lays to the point, Davey, that you're saying sometimes it's more fun to watch absolutely. And hope for the over.
Hey, and that Trocheck tip-in was awesome. And then the Huberto spinorama pass, which, I mean, you could do that. That was right on the money. That was incredible. So that was those were 2 plays that stood out to me in that game. Obviously, anyone who knows hockey saw those plays. Where are we going? Time to wrap it up. Any final thoughts on a Friday as we head into the weekend?
2 more DFS plays for Friday. I love Bo Horvat. He's kind of been the steady rock for Vancouver all season long. Get him in the lineup. And then quietly, Josh Morrissey, he's got assists in 4 straight games, playing 24 minutes per game over the span. Pick him up in season long, because when Pierre-Luc Dubois gets back, I think that Jets team's going to take to new heights. So get Morrissey season long in DFS.
Yeah, waiver wire, I'm looking at the Hurricanes. I know we mentioned their 3 strong centers earlier in the week, but you're seeing, like, look at their goal leaders on the season, 7 each for Staal, Trocheck, Brock McGinn, and Nito Niederreiter. Brock McGinn has been one of the hottest players in fantasy lately. Most people still don't know who he is. He's a fixture in the top 9. Sometimes they bump him up to Aho's line. Sometimes they play him on the third line, but he's playing with a good center either way. So if you're in a deep league with not much out there, there's a good chance him or Nina Ryder could be available. I really like them. One other guy for the weekend, Joe Thornton, really made quick work of the Ottawa Senators this week. He combined for 6 points in three games, coming back from his injury, playing with Matthews and Marner, who just might be the best scoring duo in the whole NHL this year. Matthews just so consistent with his point streak and everything else. So, and leading the league in goals, and Marner's like close to the points lead, the whole thing. So Thornton is the way to tap into those guys. And he's out there in most leagues right now.
Jumbo Matthews, a complete player these days. He's doing everything, scoring goals, playing a little defense. I saw someone say that he should be, I think it was our pal Mike Kelly, said that he should be considered for the Selke, which is absolutely, when you think about that, you know, a couple of years ago, Austin Matthews for the Selke. But he's playing a 200-foot game now. He's burying in his goals, and that helps you on the defensive end, right? When your shots start dropping, then you put a little more effort in the back end. And I have to say, I was wrong about Jumbo. Did not see him playing this many minutes. Did not see him playing with those two guys. And he's been good for that team. I don't know if it's been, you know, he's loosened them up a little bit. I'm not sure, but it's working. Surprisingly, I didn't see that happening.
Davey's got two picks for this weekend. I'm going outdoors, guys. I'm going outdoors. So we've got the Honda Outdoors and Bridgestone Outdoor Games this weekend. Just got to get those sponsors in.
Very nice, Davey. You need tomorrow, the cue cards?
I'll send you some cue cards. I'm going with the Avalanche over Vegas. I think the Vegas is probably favored, but I've been doing some research. Marc-Andre Fleury has been playing really well, but he's never won an outdoor game. He's 0-2. So okay. I'm going to go with the Avalanche in this one. Like I said, I think there's probably a little value because I think Vegas is favored. And then, I mean, Sunday, I would assume everyone has to hammer the Bruins, right? The Flyers are missing half their team. Mm-hmm. That's going to be tough for them. I mean, I would, and after what happened with the Bruins yesterday, you know, losing to the Devils, and I think they lost to the Islanders. They've lost 2 of 3. So I would hammer the Bruins and I think the Avalanche this weekend.
So wait, are any of those a sledgehammer?
No sledgehammer. Okay, it's a slight, maybe a mallet.
Okay, I just want, a mallet. Yeah, I don't want to confuse the listeners when you say hammer, got to differentiate.
Right.
Sledgehammer.
Right.
Now we have the mallet. So I like that, Davey.
I got a note on the, actually, three of the four teams playing outdoors are the, you know, the three best teams in terms of fewest goals allowed. You got Colorado, you got Vegas, and you got Boston. So the thing I would say is under in the first game, 3 p.m. Eastern, NBC, Avalanche, Golden Knights, two West teams.
Didn't they move that time? No.
They
that
moved the Sunday.
Okay,
Sunday
sorry. I jumped in on the wrong time.
They might move. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's totally weather dependent. Totally. It's a great outdoor scene. I'm sure everybody who's listening to this show saw the great pictures on the NHL feed yesterday. Pretty remarkable. But again, I would say the under in the Avs Golden Knights game. The Avs also, like, they always lose their outdoor games. It's about time that they win an outdoor game, I would say, you know, after the one in Coors Field and the one in Air Force. And, you know, now they're playing in front of no fans. So, you know, it's going to be a great opportunity for the two best teams in the league, I think, to put their products on display.
You've got your Stadium Series shirt on. You were there last year. I think you saw a hat trick by Tyler Toffoli?
He saw a hat trick from Tyler Toffoli. It's time to wrap it up on a Friday. I like the everyone's picks, everyone's energy, even yours, Davey. I got to get you on after a Devils win, especially a Mackenzie Blackwood performance like that, because you bring the energy. So Petey, put a bow on it. Robbie, say, you know, give out the handles, do what you guys do and lock it up.
At David Satriano for Davey, at NHL Jensen for Petey, at NHL Reese, at NHL Fantasy, at Air Checked for Bobby.
Let's go, baby.
And a quick schedule note here. Carolina's back-to-back now is actually Carolina-Chicago on Friday and Carolina-Tampa on Saturday. So watch out there. If Nedeljkovic gets one of those games, I'd go the other way.
Yeah. One shout out I wanted to give. I was shocked to see, not shocked because he was good last year, but Brian Rust is leading the Penguins in scoring with 15 points in 15 games and also leading them in shots. When you have a team with Malkin, Crosby, and Letang, I mean, that's pretty good company to be ahead of. So Brian Rust. Yeah.
We couldn't end the show without talking about Brian Rust. So nice job. All right, put a bow on it.
All right. So for Bobby, Robbie, Davey, and myself, Pete Jensen, we'll talk to you this weekend. Enjoy the outdoor games. Hit us up with your last minute DFS sports betting, and season-long fantasy questions, and we'll be back at you next week. Thanks for listening, NHL Fantasy on Ice.